I'm James Rapine, and this is the Locked On Bengals podcast on a Thursday. Thank you so much for tuning in on Twitter at James Rapine at Locked On Bengals. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcast. On today's show, you're going to hear from Jim Ossarski, Cincinnati.com. He's moving. So this might be the last time we talk to Jim for a while on the podcast. Plus, I caught up with Tyler Boyd earlier today in the Bengals locker room. As always, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Like I said, on Twitter, at James Rapine, at Locked On Bengals. And by the way, this is the only daily Bengals podcast out there. So if you know Bengals fans that aren't listening yet, or maybe have listened a little bit, but it's been a while, let them know. We're doing this every single weekday, and it's certainly great for you, great for me, that you are listening to this today. A lot to get to. Let's dive into it here. Jim Ossarski coming up in a bit. But first, let's hear from Tyler Boyd, a confident Tyler Boyd, a comfortable Tyler Boyd, a Tyler that, well, seems really settled in his number two wide receiver role. I caught up with Tyler Boyd earlier today in the Bengals locker room.
Tyler, what's the biggest difference for you in this offense this year versus where you were at a year ago?
Well, now just starting to develop a new role in this offense, you know, being number two receiver, number two guy, you know, I had to step up big time, you know, and to make it more plays, you know, knowing what I had to do on the field, you know, and just taking care of myself. You know, I think I do a great job of learning the game and learning different techniques to get through coverages and stuff. But I think I just got to keep my mental state balanced out, you know, so I'm not overwhelmed with the plays and my leadership.
Is that what changed last year versus this year for you the most? Is the mental side of the game? Because obviously you had a breakout rookie year. It seemed like you were going to build on that in year two, and unfortunately that wasn't the case. But now it seemed like you and the offense as a general might take a step forward here in year three.
The only mental thing I think I need to improve on is just starting to learn more the Z now that I'm number two. You know, I got the F down pack. You know, I know the Z pretty good. You know, I just got to make sure I master that and master my craft at that position.
In the locker room with Tyler Boyd, you look at this wide receiver room, and I feel like we've talked about it really since Josh and John were drafted. But does it feel like it's coming together now where the young guys, you, Josh, John, even Auden Tate, Alex Erickson, everyone fits together well and the pieces are coming together for a big potential offensive explosion this season?
Definitely, know, because we got fresh guys out there, guys that's massively hungry, you know, guys that's willing and dying to get out there on the field and make plays, you know, that we've been doing since we got here, you know, and every guy gonna want the best out of each other, you know, and we do a great job of motivating each other and grinding hard and competing with one another, you know, and plus besides all that, you know, we all have a great friendship and we all cool, we're all real tight, you know, so we all want everybody to play a part. We want people to be able to go in certain plays and get the ball. You know, we don't want it to just be me, AJ, all the time. You know, we're able to get me and AJ a break or whenever we tire and get two fresh guys in and continue what we was doing that drive, you know. So it's just like, I think makes it a lot easier for our offense to improve than what it was last year.
Tyler, when you look at the film from last week, obviously the first team offense scored two out of three possessions, and outside of John's slip, you guys looked pretty good throughout. When you look back at the film, what did you see? What did you like? What did you not like?
I just like the speed, you know, how we were moving, you know, and how things were just clicking. You know, we wasn't even running too much of our offense. You know, we just doing basically the fundamental things of our offense. You know, we wasn't trying to show too much. And I noticed, like, we were still kind of unstoppable at the time, you know, and I really didn't dislike anything that we were doing. You know, I think everything worked out well for the ones and what we wanted to accomplish for that game. You know, so I think it went pretty well and it could tell that we started where we left off from last year.
A few more questions in the Bengals locker room with Tyler Boyd. Obviously, you guys have Dallas on Saturday. What do you want to see from this offense? What do you want to see from yourself on Saturday to kind of to progress and improve?
Just the consistency, you know, of us driving the ball. You know, I believe we're going to continue to do what we do, you know, until a team can come in there and prove us wrong. You know, I don't think there's any team out there that can do that, you know, with the amount of talent that we have on our team. You know, especially on offense, you know, every guy on the field is a threat. You know, so I don't think that guys can even game plan AJ and continue to double him because they got other guys to worry about now that they didn't feel was much of as effective that it was that guys were last year. So I think that the film And what we're displaying, you know, is showing the league that we got weapons.
Obviously, last year, the offensive line was a question mark and had its struggles last season. What have you seen from them early on this year? Obviously, they have a new coach. They got some new faces in that room. And does that give you confidence as a wide receiver?
I see a lot of commitment in those guys, you know, dedication and hard work, man. Those guys is putting it all out there, you know, to show the league that we're not the 32 offense, you know, or the best lineman. We're not going to discredit any one of the units on our offense. We're all one, you know, so, I mean, we all had to get tight. It wasn't just those guys, you know, but I felt like they all bound in and they want what everybody else wants, is to win.
Tyler, I appreciate the time. Good luck on Saturday.
Appreciate you, bro.
That is one of my favorite Bengals. I'm not going to lie. And I don't know if you guys know that or what. I know I'm known as the John Ross guy. Tyler Boyd is one of my favorite Bengals, and I think he's poised for a huge year. You heard it here first. He will be second on this team in receptions this year. I don't know about yards. I think yards might go to Ross. I don't know about touchdowns. I think that might go to Eifert. But as far as receiving, receptions-wise, he's going to be second on this team, barring something unforeseen. I really believe that. And I think all of the pieces, and you heard me kind of talk about that, all of the pieces of this offense, at least on paper, they fit together. And I can't wait to see what happens on Saturday night. We'll have a complete preview of Bengals-Cowboys preseason game number 2 on tomorrow's podcast. Up next, I caught up with Jim Ossarski yesterday, Cincinnati.com. He's leaving for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He came from there. He's covered Green Bay before. He will be their Packers beat writer. But I decided I would have him on my radio show before he goes. And you're going to hear some of that. Some interesting tidbits from Jim on a ton of different things, including Geno Atkins, a potential deal with him, including his perception and the perception of Mike Brown and the Bengals organization and how he felt about it before he got here. And now how he looks at the organization. All of that and more coming up here on the Locked On Bengals podcast. But first, a word from Vivid Seats. If you haven't used Vivid Seats yet or vividseats.com, they got a great app and it is perfect for you. If you want to go to any type of live event, whether we're talking about a Bengals game, talking about a Reds game, maybe you want to go to week 2. That's the game that I think a lot of Bengals fans will have marked. It's prime time. It's Thursday night. It's 5 days after the opener. It's the Bengals' home opener, and it's against division rival Baltimore. Let's say you want to go to that. The best place to get tickets, vividseats.com in the Vivid Seats app. If you use promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to get 10% off your order before August 31st. So you got to get it in before the end of August, before the regular season starts, but you can buy it for any event, any type of sporting event you could think of. I'm going to use the Vivid Seats app when I go to Wrigley Field. I'm going to Wrigley Field later this month. Going to watch the Cubs and the Reds. And you can, too, save 10% off your first order throughout the month of August with Vivid Seats in the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON, and that'll get you the 10% off. By the way, everything's guaranteed. You don't got to worry. This isn't like some silly service where it's not guaranteed. Your ticket's guaranteed. It's easy. It's really awesome, and we got 10% off since you listen to the Locked On Bengals podcast. Again, vividseats.com, promo code Locked On. I'm James Erpine, and this is the Locked On Bengals podcast. By the way, before we get to Jim Ossarski, I've heard some of you respond about the voicemail idea. More responses would be great. I'm going to set it up. It's a thing that I think I'm going to do. I just want to hear from a few more of you. I don't want to do it and then no one really want to chime in that way. I get it. You like email. You like Twitter. And I love when getting emails from listeners. And most of the time I try to respond. Most of the time I try to respond to your DMs as well. If there are anything, any concerns, any thoughts on the whole voicemail idea, let me know. But as of now, I'm probably going to do it. But I would love to hear from more of you. Also, it seems like the Spotify idea you guys liked a lot, the creating a Bengals playlist. Now, I'm going to wait for the rosters to get cut to 53 because 90-plus songs, that's a lot, you know. But I think that that is something we will certainly do throughout the season as well. I'm James Erpine. This is the Locked On Bengals podcast. And let's dive into it. I caught up with Jim Ossarski, Cincinnati.com, yesterday on my show on ESPN 1530. By the way, that's noon to 1 every single weekday. And here's my conversation with Jim, who's headed to Wisconsin.
What's one thing about the Bengals that you thought about or you thought of going in, just seeing them from afar, that you feel differently about now as you kind of say your goodbyes and go back to Green Bay?
That's a really good question. You know, I'll say I sort of fell into the national narrative of how little the team would spend on football. I think, you know, when you're not in this town or in this market and you're not really diving into the salary cap or whatnot, and I understand that they roll over stuff, there's always money. I get that. But I think nationally it's sort of perpetuated and pushed that the club doesn't really spend on its players. And then, you know, I got here and you go into it and you're like, oh, wow, like at various points in their careers, you know, Carson Palmer, Geno Atkins, A.J. Green were the highest paid players at their position, you know, in the NFL. Like, they were the ones who set the market. You know, when you look around the landscape now at Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack and the quarterback conversation with Aaron Rodgers, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, it's interesting in that regard, James, because I think from far away, that's all that's sort of out there. And I think that goes with, well, they haven't really advanced past that first round, so the national media doesn't really swarm in and, you know, do a whole lot of extra reporting on that stuff. So, I understand that people might feel they don't spend enough, but the reality is that they do, you know, at least for their own guys. So I think that would be the one biggest difference that I maybe didn't expect to learn coming here 4 years ago.
Jim Osarski, Cincinnati.com, is with us. And yeah, so let's say you're covering the Packers, and afterwards you go out to happy hour or something like that on a random Thursday a year from now, and the Bengals happen to be on the schedule at some point, and a fan comes up and says, well, Mike Brown doesn't want to win. What do you say to the person who says that?
No, he does want to win. I've had many conversations with Mike Brown these 4 years. I actually just did at camp the other day, and he wants to win, but there's the but, and it's he wants to win the way they're doing it. You know, I would say that. Excuse me. You know, I just messaged some free agents. You know, they're not going to go spend $15 million on Ndamukong Suh. You know, they're not going to sign that type of player. And we can get into the debate on that. We have debated that for the last 3-4 years, James, I know. But I would say that, yeah, Mike Brown wants to win. That's for sure. It's just he wants to do it the way that he believes is right, and that's the way he's doing it now.
Jim Osarski is with us here on ESPN 1530. And, Jim, let's dive into training camp a little bit. Let's discuss what the Bengals have done so far. Obviously, the offensive line has been under the microscope. That's something we've been paying attention to for the better part of 2.5 years now because of their struggles. What have you seen from Frank Pollock during training camp? What have you seen from the offensive line? And has it been positive results so far?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely a positive turn from a year ago. Now, granted, that baseline's pretty low. And let's not forget, you know, even in 2016, there's some beloved players who left via free agency that also were part of a group that gave up 40 sacks, had a losing record. You know what I mean? So this has been a 2-year kind of slide with a variety of guys. And so the bar's low, but, you know, they trade for a left tackle who's a real left tackle. They draft the center, and that was, right, that's how this started, and I think those guys have been at least, I mean, to this show, James, have been as advertised. Now the question is the right side of the line, and look, while that has yet to be determined, it may not be for another two weeks or so. It's better than it was a year ago, and I say that because last training camp, Andy Dalton couldn't run offense. You know, he's running 11s against his own guys. And, yeah, Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap and Carl Lawson can wreck a play at any moment. But for the most part, you know, the Bengals want to run their stuff in practice.
Sure.
You know, but they couldn't do it last year. Like, Andy Dalton, it was such a window into what was going to happen where, you know, Andy Dalton couldn't get to the top of his drop, and it would, you know, he was ducking that shoulder to get out of way of somebody. So, that first of all, that hasn't happened all camp, and then, you know, against the Bears' first-string defense, Roquan Smith or not, I mean, that Vic Fangio's group is pretty good, even in even in vanilla stuff, and they protected Andy Dalton, and he was able to get the ball out. So, regardless of who finishes on the right side there, James, I think it is, it's better. You know, we'll see week one, week four, week six, you know, as injuries and time take the toll. But, I mean, at least as of now, I've been impressed. I mean, they made a change for a reason. And at least to me, on a day-to-day basis, it does look better.
Jim Osarski of the Cincinnati Enquirer is with us today on Cincy 360. Jim, last year, 32nd in the league in total offense, the Bengals were, and it was awful. It was ugly at times offensively. I can't believe I'm asking this, but I think it's a legitimate question. Is this the best skill group the Bengals have had since you've been here, or at least since 2015?
Yes. because the thing that was, you know, in 15, if they don't win a Super Bowl in this sort of Dalton Lewis era, James, I think 15, you know, I'm going to be doing your show here in 2025 talking about what could have been if Andy Dalton doesn't hit his thumb. But, I mean, that was sort of, in the NFL this happens, James, you know, where you kind of just get that special group that all kind of matures together, and that's what happened. You know, especially when you talk about the Sanu and Jones really hitting the beginning of their peak and really blossoming, and Tyler Eifert, of course, was healthy. And you know, that defense was so good. I mean, Vontaze Burfict missed six games, and they were 6-0. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're not as good as those guys, because those guys were all, what, 27? Mm-hmm. You know? But I would say over the last 2 years, you know, Jeremy Hill, stand-up guy in the locker room every day, but, you know, he's not as good as Joe Mixon. He wasn't as good as him last year. So that's an improvement. You know, Brandon LaFell, again, solid guy, good leader. John Ross and Josh Malone are better. Tyler Boyd's a better player. We're talking about that sweet spot of receivers. I think Tyler Boyd's hitting that. Mm-hmm. Tyler Eifert, I think anything he gives you is gravy, but Tyler Croft, you know, 7 touchdowns a year ago. In 16, after Tyler Eifert got hurt, what was the tight end situation? You know, you didn't know. So, Giovanni Bernard is still very good. I like Mark Walton as sort of that third guy. I mean, he would be comparable to a Rex Burkhead if we want to play that game. I'd say, look, Mike Brown, you want to talk about a guy who wanted to win. You know, he told me in January, you know, they believe in the quarterback, but they know enough about Andy Dalton to know that he can play really well when those guys around him are better players. And they felt they failed Andy in the offense in that way the last 2 years, so they've addressed it. And I think, yeah, I mean, we'll see on game days, James, but I do, at least through camp. This is the more interesting set of skill guys since 15.
Is it fair to say that Auden Tate, barring anything unforeseen, including injuries and things like that, is officially a lock to make the 53-man roster?
Yeah, we Paul Danner Jr. and I had this exact debate on the BBP this week, James, at Cincinnati.com. Paul thinks he is a lock. He's like, you cannot cut that guy. I mean, he has one job, and he does it very well, which is catching football. I hesitate to call anyone outside of the obvious guys locks before game two. You know, I'd like to see him do some of this against some better defensive backs. I think Marvin Lewis hinted at that this week, James, when he said, you know, some guys are going to play a little earlier. So I think if you see Auden Tate run out there before the final jump ball at the half. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think we all want to see that. I want to see it. I mean, receivers, that's the one thing. I mean, he's a very special catcher of the football, but they, I mean, they all kind of have to be here. So I want to see, does he continue to get that sort of top of the route separation against dudes who's at, who are actually going to be on rosters? So for me, it's not a lock just yet, but I mean, it's pretty close.
What about, and we don't talk about him much. I've called this guy a lock, and I think he is, and maybe you disagree. What about a guy like Alex Erickson? I think he's certainly on the 53-man roster. Do you think he's a lock?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the on-tape conversation is one of those cross-positional roster battles where, you know, maybe you go at 90 linemen, you know what I mean, that type of thing. Alex Erickson, it's interesting. I mean, he's a proven special teams player, and these rules of the kicking game, and we don't know what that's going to look like, and you know, we've seen him score touchdowns. I mean, that's how he made this team 2 years ago in the preseason. I think he's shown enough in the slot, James, like at the very end of last year, in moments in camp, where I think he can be that extra guy. I mean, he's a little limited, I think, whereas you look at John Ross, A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, to a lesser extent, Josh Malone. I mean, at least the top three can play all three spots.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Erickson, I don't really think you're putting on the outside, but as a sort of fifth receiver, I think so. He's a good player. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I had a coach tell me, you know, a year or two ago, I was asking, you know, after that rookie year, did Alex Erickson make the team? And he's like, look, he's a guy you want. Alex Erickson will help you win a football game. And I think at least to this point, he's proven he can do that.
Yeah, completely agree. Jim Osarski of the Cincinnati Enquirer is with us. I'm James Rapine. This is Cincy 360 on ESPN 1530. Jim, let's switch to the other side. Let's talk defense. There's a lot of interesting moving pieces when it comes to this defense. I want to start with the cornerbacks because for the first time in a while, it seems like after the big three corners in Dre Kirkpatrick, William Jackson, and Darquez Dennard, there's some, I don't want to say restlessness, but question marks after those three guys. What are your impressions of how the Bengals feel about their young corners?
I would call it some unease.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, and think about how weird that is to say. Like, you know, this group, since I've been here, that was even, you know, 13-14, that was the whole, you know, Terrence Newman was in town, Leon Hall was in town, it was the five first-rounders, right? And Quez and Kirkpatrick couldn't get on the field. You know, they are thin to me, James. I mean, it's been a long time to get to this point. But you're right. If Kirkpatrick, Dennard, and Wayne Jackson III get hurt or miss games, as of right now, I think they're in trouble. You know, I haven't seen really anything out of the two fifth-round corners and Darius Phillips and Devontae Harris that would make anyone comfortable, you know, with those guys playing right away. Josh Shaw, you know what I mean? I think if he makes this team, it's as a special teams, core special teamer, but we saw in Tennessee last year, James, when this situation with the corners happened, Josh Shaw was picked on.
Mm-hmm.
That whole game-winning drive, and how many penalties did he have to set up that touchdown? And yeah, that's one game, but I mean, like that's what teams do when they kind of know a guy isn't at that top starting level. So that, to me, that's a concern, without a doubt. I think the safety group is solid. Marvin really talked up Jesse Bates the other day. I mean, I guess he's been solid. I haven't seen him make any plays yet, but I haven't seen him running behind anyone either, trying to catch him. So, you know, as a safety, that's pretty good. But yeah, corner could be an issue, James. I mean, the longer Adam Jones hangs out there and the longer they wonder about this group or if there is an injury before the end of camp, that waiver wire might be something that they keep an eye on, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it is. And one name that Bengals fans were tossing around yesterday, and you probably said direct these tweets at Paul, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Orlando Scandrick, he's available. I think he's in Kansas City today visiting. If that is a guy that's available? Do you think that's something that the Bengals could kick the tires on at some point this preseason?
See, that's the hard part of this conversation, because a guy like Orlando Scandrick might be available now, but no doubt he's a guy who's looking for a starting job and might be able to find one. I mean, we're talking about finding a veteran who, if he signs, let's say tomorrow, knows that the best he's going to do is be the fourth corner and have to play special teams. Now, veteran guys who have a choice might not want to make that choice just yet. Because that's what it is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that guy's just not going to play. So, really, I think you're looking at more veteran depth. Now, the longer he hangs out there, maybe that's what he is, and we don't know how the Bengals evaluate that type of player. But that's the hard part of this, James, is starting caliber corners might pass on Cincinnati unless an injury happens. You know what I mean? And there's a clear job to be had.
You can follow Jim on Twitter at Jim Osarski. We're talking Bengals with him for a few more minutes. As far as the defensive line goes, and you mentioned safeties as well, but the defensive line to me has been such a strength, and you've seen it do a complete 180 over the past 18 months or so. And now I'm looking at Andrew Billings, and it seems like he's getting it and looking like the guy they thought they got when they drafted him a couple years ago in the fourth round. Sam Hubbard's looked good so far. I think this might be their strongest position group, maybe by far, Jim, which is crazy to think, because if you would have told me this or told me that during the right before the 2017 draft, that a year in 4 months later, we'd be talking about the defensive line being their best position group, I probably would have laughed at you, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a pretty good group, because, you know, a guy like Chris Baker gets lost in the shuffle, a free agent acquisition, who's been solid, you know, this camp. I think Billings' emergence, at least the way he has looked, adds to that. Carl Lawson, I think, looks better than he did a year ago when he was sort of that unknown. You know, a year ago this time, you're like, well, sure, Carl Lawson looks great, but can he do it against real dudes? You know what I mean? And then obviously he can. You know, to me, he's a pro bowler right now. I'd argue with your best position group. I would just say the running backs are that.
Yeah, true.
But this D-line, you're right. I mean, Geno Atkins looks like he deserves his extension. Carlos Dunlap looks like he deserves an extension into their early 30s. You know, Sam Hubbard's been interesting to me, James. I don't know what I expected out of him. I thought he was a sort of rotational depth pick at best for this year, and he is really impressed. He can get edge pressure. They're moving him inside a little bit, kind of like what they did with Michael Johnson. He's getting inside pressure. He's been pretty good. So you're right. I mean, and Jordan Willis, I think, has taken a step. So, you know, they've got a nice group of young guys. Last year, I guess Billings is 2 years ago now, three, that are coming together. It is. If they stay healthy, it could be a really, really strong group of nine that makes them for some tough, active decisions on Sundays.
Jim, you mentioned contract extensions, and I'll let you go on this. No contract extensions yet. I think there's certainly probably some stuff going on behind closed doors. Is there anything new in that department that you want to break here on ESPN 1580?
I don't have news to break other than they are ongoing and they are talking. And here's the unique thing. You know, unlike, say, 15 when A.J. Green was extended, or 14 when Andy Dalton was extended, you know, you got two guys right now who, you know, Geno, I mean, they're 30, Carlos is 30. Like, they're going to command top of the market money. I think their age will prevent that. You know, Aaron Donald, I think, probably should make more money than Geno.
Sure.
Just because he's 3 years younger and, you know, a player of the year type of thing. But don't tell them that. I mean, their agents are going to try to get, you know, the best money possible. I mean, and obviously the Bengals want to protect cap space and understand they've got the situation with AJ in 2 years and Andy Dalton in 2 years, you know what I mean? So they look in those 5 year windows, the team does. So no breaking news. They're talking. Put it this way. I don't – if there's any concern, I think Geno Atkins is definitely a Cincinnati Bengal in 2018, just because I think they would franchise tag him in a heartbeat, you know, if they can't – Yeah, in 18. So, you know, but, yeah, they're working on it. It's just whether or not they get it done, or both of them done, by the start of this season. But remember, there's that little window in early March before free agency as well.
Sure. And last thing here for you, Jim. Over-under, we always play over-under or some kind of game here on 360. If I said over-under 1.5 contract extensions getting done before the regular season by the Bengals with any of their players. I mean, we could be talking about Tyler Kroft, CJ Uzama, someone like that. Would you take the over or the under?
Wow. Can I push? Oh. Is there half a contract?
I put you right on there? The spot there. Oh, man.
I'll go with under.
Oh.
And look, if I was running the team, I pay number 97.
Sure.
Whatever that is. And, you know, that's a lot of money. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that might take a while to actually get done. And then I just sort of roll the dice. I mean, look, you know, this team isn't afraid to go to March. They've retained Vinny Ray, and they've retained Dre Kirkpatrick and Adam Jones. Once they've gotten to March, I understand the list that go the other way there, James. But I think, you know, I think they'd be willing to roll the dice on a Kroft or a Uzama or Vinny Ray in March, if it meant Geno's taken care of.
That's Jim Osarski, Cincinnati.com. Jim was great throughout his time in Cincinnati. I actually got to catch up with him yesterday, had a few drinks, and it's bittersweet, man, because you never know what's going to happen selfishly, right? Like, I've leaned on Jim, had him on the podcast multiple times. I've had him on the radio. Who's going to fill that spot? Is it someone that's going to be good enough to put on the radio? So selfishly, it's one of those things where it's like, ah, man, Jim, don't go. Plus, he's got along with him. He's a good dude. So Jim Osarski, I wish him the best of luck in Milwaukee. But the thing is, and the reason I included all of that there, how about the Geno Atkins thing? He thinks that thing is getting done, doesn't he? It sounded like it's getting done. All right, we'll see. It'll certainly be interesting to see what happens there. By the way, the other day, just to update you, I played the game, the 10-10 game CJ Uzama and I talked about, and it's hard. 20,000. The first time I went, 439. And if you haven't seen this or you missed the CJ Uzama interview, you can go back to earlier podcast this week and listen. But it's called 10-10, like 1-0-1-0 with an exclamation point. And I got it in the App Store on my iPhone, and he said he had 20,000-plus points in this game. I have no idea how he did it. I told him today, I'm going to keep trying. 439 was my debut. We'll see if I can get better as that goes on. Tomorrow's show, we'll preview Saturday's game, against Dallas. What I'm going to be looking for, what I hope happens, and so much more. I'm James Erpine. Please, please, please do me a favor. Leave a 5-star review on iTunes for this podcast. We have 4.5 stars. Getting to that 5 number matters a lot in searches and things like that when people look up Bengals. So it'll help other listeners, other Bengals fans find this podcast. We're the only daily Bengals podcast out there. So please, please get the word out. And you guys have been great about it. That's why I keep reminding you, because you are the best. And always feel free to tweet me at James Erpine, at Locked On Bengals. You can email me as well, James Erpine at ESPN1530.com. Thanks to Tyler Boyd, by the way, for coming on. Thanks to Jim Osarski. Tyler Boyd was literally being bugged by a teammate, not going to say who. And he said, no, bro, hold on. And he let me interview him for that 5 minutes. So that was great. He's one of my favorite players before, but that, I like it. So we'll see what happens this year. We'll preview tomorrow against Dallas on tomorrow's podcast. Dallas, Saturday night, 7 o'clock. I can't wait for that either. Thanks again for listening. Have a great night. Be back tomorrow. I'm James Erpine, and this is the Locked On Bengals podcast.